listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Fusion.
Amplifying truth
and pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
Before we're done today, we will check in with Governor Mike Huckabee and his thoughts on the dilemma of violent black young men in America and what can be done about it. Alexandra DeSantis will join us to deconstruct Planned Parenthood's faux apology about their founder. Congresswoman Maliotakis joins us to talk local stuff, and we start with the statehood of D.C. Don't go anywhere.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing a role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
President Biden strongly supports D.C. statehood, and our administration will work with Congress to get it passed.
Our administration? I'm sorry, I still believe that Jen Psaki is not quite up to the job, if you know what I'm saying, there in the White House. But that was her muttering of the explanation of endorsement of the idea of turning Washington, D.C. into the 51st state. I would like to think, friends, that most Americans would look at this and say, oh, that's just a naked power grab. We understand what's going on there, and the good men and women of the United States Congress and Senate should vote that down. Sadly, that may not be the case. What are the grounds for statehood? Should it be allowed? Is it even constitutionally possible? Here to discuss is Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation, and this happens to be one of the sweet spots of things that he is gifted in knowledge of. And Zach, we appreciate you being with us today. I have seen the language of the Constitution. It seems to imply that you cannot have the federal capital located in a sovereign state. Am I wrong?
Well, thank you so much for having me on today, Kevin. And no, you're not. If you look at the Constitution, if you look at the writings of the Founding Fathers, like what James Madison wrote in Federalist 43, it's very clear that they always intended for the federal capital to be separate and apart from any one state. And there's a couple of reasons for that. They wanted to be sure that the federal government would have adequate functional control over the federal capital. And this stemmed from an incident in 1783 when Congress was meeting in Philadelphia. A group of disgruntled soldiers surrounded the Continental Congress, and the Philadelphia governor wouldn't send out the militia to protect them. And so because of that, the Congress had to flee the city, become itinerants for the next several years. And the framers wanted to be sure that that situation would never happen again. And then they also wanted to be sure that no one state would exercise an outside influence on the operations of the federal government just because, you know, it would be the seat of the federal government. And so that's why we have a separate federal entity to serve as the seat of government for our nation. And then, as you mentioned as well, there are also important constitutional reasons why the District of Columbia becoming a state in this manner by simple legislation is unconstitutional.
What would some of them be?
Sure. So there's a couple. And the most prominent one is the 23rd Amendment. And if you'll recall, the 23rd Amendment provides electoral college votes for president and vice president to the residents of the District of Columbia. And so under this proposal, H.R. 51, that passed the House of Representatives earlier this week, the seat of government would be shrunk down to a mini capital. That's essentially the area of the National Mall, and the rest of the district would become a new state. And so you'd have this very small area having three electoral college votes under the terms of the 23rd Amendment, because Democratic lawmakers are not requiring that the 23rd Amendment be repealed before D.C. statehood takes effect. They make no provision for it. They encourage states to repeal the 23rd Amendment, but don't require them to do so, don't provide a timeline. And so you're left with this absurd situation where potentially only the first family would control three electoral college votes. So they recognize the absurdity of this situation and propose to, by simple legislation, just have Congress require this new mini capital not to appoint any electors. But here's the problem with that. The 23rd Amendment says that the district constituting the seat of government shall appoint presidential electors. And so we're left in this very troubling situation where Congress is essentially trying to nullify a constitutional amendment by simple legislation. It should be obvious that's a very dangerous precedent to set, something Congress cannot do. And so this issue really needs to be resolved before the District of Columbia can become a state.
What's the other big one? Because you said there were a couple.
Sure. So there's also the District Clause, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. There's a good argument that once Congress accepted the parameters of the district, once they accepted the land of the district, that was a final act, that they don't have the ability to alter it after that. And again, even if you disagree with that, I think there's also a very good argument that the 23rd Amendment, in a sense, constitutionalized the boundaries of the district, because clearly the framers of the 23rd Amendment contemplated a district of a specific size with a significant population, something that this proposal would do away with. And then you're also left with a very real issue. You know, the land that was originally given for the area that's currently the District of Columbia was donated by Maryland, quote, for the purpose of establishing a national capital. And so if the land is now being used for another purpose, it seems clear that Maryland's consent would be needed to do that. I think everyone agrees that if Congress had immediately accepted the land from Maryland and then in 1800 immediately turned around and created a new state or given the land to a different state, everyone would have understood that was inappropriate. It was outside the terms of the agreement. And so what Congress could not do in 1800, it cannot do today simply with the passage of time.
These are great.
They're very significant.
Yeah, these are great points that you're making, Zach, but let me ask you a practical matter. It seems like this Congress does not care about constitutionality and are willing to push things through by the thinnest of margins. What do you sense is going to happen now that this has passed the House?
Right. So a similar bill passed the House last year. It went to the Senate, didn't get anywhere. Obviously, the Senate is in a different position today than it was a year ago. But again, I think it faces an uphill battle in the Senate. And I'm hopeful that once again, it will not make it out of the Senate, because if it does, President Biden has pledged to sign it. And so I'd anticipate if it makes it out of the Senate, if President Biden signs it, then at that point we'd be faced with years and years of litigation, where, you know, potentially every act of the new state, potentially every act of Congress, where senators or representatives from the new state voted on it, could all be called into question. And even a future presidential election could be called into question if this 23rd Amendment issue isn't resolved ahead of time.
Well, especially if you're talking about an Electoral College vote difference of three votes or less. I mean, that, and,
exactly.
You know, with as closely divided as we are as a nation, that could actually be the case. Has Heritage published any papers or any documents on this that I can recommend listeners to go look up and read more for their own edification?
Yeah, I actually had an opportunity to testify in front of the House Oversight Committee last month when they were taking up H.R. 51. If you go to heritage.org and look for me, Zach Smith, or if you follow me on Twitter, at TZ Smith, you can see several videos on DC statehood there. You can watch my testimony. You can also get access to my written testimony that I submitted to the House Oversight Committee. And so if your listeners would do that, that would be much appreciated.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to give people the tools to have the knowledge for themselves, because as we are, ever inundated with day-to-day headlines and, you know, the next one splashier and more important and supposedly more urgent than the one before it, I think some of this has slipped by in some respects. And so I want to give people that opportunity. Zach Smith is his name. Search him on Heritage's website, heritage.org, and follow him on Twitter at TZ Smith. Zach Smith, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on. Take care.
Absolutely. All right. Coming up, we've got a big show. Congresswoman Maliotakis has a couple of bones to pick. One with the CDC as it pertains to your ability to travel, and also one with the federal government and some information about 9/11. You know, we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. What is it that she is tweaking them for? We will ask her. And then Alexandra De Sanctis will join us from the National Review. A compelling argument made by their current president about their founder's past has finally been admitted to. But does it matter? That's all straight ahead. Kevin McCullough, stay with us.
The Ask Sister Jean live gospel broadcast is praying for you. Sister Jean invites you to call in your prayers every Sunday from 5 until 6 p.m. at 718-653-7970. Keep prayer on the air with your donations to Sister Jean at 718-653-7970. Is there something you need prayer for? The Bible quotes in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." If you have a prayer request, call Sister Jean at 718-653-7970, and Sister Jean will pray for you, your families, your job, your struggles, and troubles. Sister Jean's live pray call-in broadcast is Sundays from 5 until 6 p.m. Ask Sister Jean wants to pray for you. To keep prayer on the air live with Sister Jean, please send your donations by calling 718-653-7970. And tune in at 5 p.m. this Sunday for the Ask Sister Jean live call-in your prayers gospel broadcast on AM 570 and 102.3 FM The Mission, WMCA.
This is Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com for Town Hall. Each state has to balance its pandemic response with economic, social, and liberty issues. In most states, elected officials make those calls, and voters can hold them accountable. In Oregon, however, an unelected bureaucrat now wants to impose a permanent mask mandate, one that would survive past even the emergency order from the governor. Oregon's mask mandate is already more expansive than most states. It makes no distinctions between indoor and outdoor activity. And, as if to illustrate their intrusiveness, Oregon's kind leaders have made explicit exceptions for showering and sleeping. This policy should be enacted by legislators, not a bureaucrat. As one petition opposing the permanent rule states, no unelected public agency should be allowed indefinite authority over any facet of public life. Oregonians should be able to breathe free or to have their elected representatives explain why they shouldn't. I'm Ed Morrissey.
Publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu.
AM 570 and 102.3 FM The Mission, WMCA. Listen online at WMCA.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you could save money on your mortgage payment and put more money into your pocket, wouldn't that make sense? Now is the perfect time to call my very good friends, Mike and Brian, at Fellowship Home Loans. Home values are up. The housing market is strong. Interest rates are low, and they're going to stay low. Talk to Mike and Brian about ways you could possibly eliminate PMI, private mortgage insurance, consolidate debt, take cash out for home improvements, and save on your taxes. As a direct lender, you deal directly with the decision makers who will save you the money and guide you every step of the way. And with outstanding customer service reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, you will be amazed by how well you are treated and how simple they make this very complicated process. Call Mike Rakeman and Brian Sheely at Fellowship Home Loans and lock in your low rate today. 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-SAVE. Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA, Fellowship Home Loans, Licensed Mortgage Banker, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 60134.
Are you scared of dental surgery? Unhappy with your smile? Tired of partial dentures? Then ZX27 glass abutment is for you. Only offered at M&M Dental in the heart of Brooklyn, it's a unique European non-surgical FDA-approved procedure, giving patients back their confidence and smile. Here to explain is Dr. Seltzer.
Hi, thanks for having me here today.
Now tell us a little bit about the ZX27.
Sure. ZX27 is a revolutionary, non-surgical, FDA-approved procedure which gives patients a permanent smile without having to endure surgery and eliminates partial dentures.
Do you own the exclusive rights to this procedure?
Yes, we do, for the United States. This procedure has been done for over 30 years in 28 different countries worldwide.
What kind of feedback have you been receiving from your patients?
Patients are loving their new beautiful smiles while avoiding implant surgery and not having to wear partial dentures.
That's fantastic. Thanks, Dr. Seltzer. Call M&M Dental now at 718-853-5777. That's 718-853-5777.
I have two dogs, Sam and Bailey. Both are golden retrievers. Poor Sam, he was a mess. Always itching, his paws were soaking wet all day from just constant licking. He had bald spots on his back. I just don't like putting shots and steroids into your dog all the time.
DinoVite.com. DinoVite is nutrition.
Probably 2 weeks after he started DinoVite, I started seeing great improvements, and today 99% of his issues are non-existent. It's amazing stuff. Since Bailey has been 12 weeks old, he's been a DinoVite dog, and he has zero issues today. He won't eat his food without DinoVite. When I get out the DinoVite, my dogs actually salivate, like I'm getting them a treat. They drool over it. DinoVite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my DinoVite from DinoVite.com.
For a free evaluation of your case, call the law offices of Dan Buttafuoco and Associates. Call 1-800-NOW-HURT. 1-800-NOW-HURT.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, very glad to have you with us, and very, very glad to have my next guest. She has represented her constituency fabulously in every office she's held, and she ran a very gallant run for mayor a few years ago, did very well in that race. I continue to be very proud of the accomplishments of Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis from Staten Island and South Brooklyn, always trying to put the people's needs first and being committed to that, even if it means some of those late nights in Albany that she had to stay up and read obnoxious legislation into the wee hours of the morning. Not quite like that in Washington, but there are times when it's close. But Nicole, it's good to have you back. Thanks again for being here. I saw you and Josh Gottheimer talking on CNBC about the capital gains tax hikes, and to his credit, Josh Gottheimer coming down against the president on this. I think that's to be commended. Why are you opposing the capital gains taxes, and what do you hope to accomplish?
Well, I think, during this time of economic recovery, when we want people to invest, we want people to expand their businesses, we want people to create jobs, it's very difficult to do that if you're going to be raising taxes and taking that money out of people's pockets. So the idea behind, an economic recovery, behind a stimulus, right, is to create jobs. And if you're going to be increasing taxes, it's going to have the actual reverse effect. And so one of the reasons why President Trump's tax reductions were so successful for the country and created so many jobs and led to the lowest unemployment was it gave people that opportunity to reinvest in their business, to give capital to companies so they can expand their operations and in turn create good paying jobs. And so I think that, this proposal, I think, is probably going to be dead on arrival because, as you mentioned, even Democrats, including Josh Gottheimer, who was joining me this morning to speak out against it, are opposed. And so I think that the number is certainly too high. It would make it the highest capital gains tax in the world and would be very detrimental and stymie our economic recovery.
Yeah, well, and that's everything you've explained are the reasons why, but it hurts the everyday person at the end of the long chain, and that's what we're trying to avoid. Hey, let me shift gears. The CDC has not allowed the cruise industry, though they are firing up in the Caribbean, to leave or to return to port in New York City, and of course that impacts your constituents and your thoughts on what they're doing, and what would you like to see the CDC do?
Yeah, so today I was joined by the longshoremen who are, very upset by the loss in work that their members have had to endure due to the CDC keeping the cruise industry shut down. This is incredibly impactful for New York State. As a matter of fact, it creates about $3 billion. The cruise industry creates about $3 billion in economic activity to New York in wages and direct spending. Over 17,000 jobs. Many of them are good union jobs, and we don't want to lose them. We are losing them to other parts of the world as these cruise lines are now starting to move to, whether it be the Caribbean, like St. Martin, or whether it be to Europe or Asia and other parts of the world. And so, cruises have been running already, and in other parts of the world, they've been doing it safely. And we're pushing the CDC to come out with some guidelines by July, so cruises can start by July 1st, so we can get these this job and economic activity back, but more importantly, prevent it losing it to other parts of the world. I mean, this is one of the things that New York really needs, and it affects all other industries too, right? The travel agents, the transportation industry, the hotel industry, restaurant industry. So it would really, really be good for New York if we can get this open. So this and restoring the SALT deduction for my constituents, the middle class, ways we can help the middle class and small business owners during this time of economic recovery.
Yeah, no doubt. There's one other thing that you've made some comment on. In fact, you may have been on my colleague Joe Piscopo's show this morning discussing this. But what are your concerns about information that we have regarding the Saudi Arabian government and their involvement in 9/11 as we are approaching the 20th observance of that deadly day?
Yeah, so you know, I'm joining the 9/11 families who are pushing for transparency. It's been 20 years, and Americans, all Americans, but particularly those families that were affected and continue to be affected each and every day, deserve to know if the Saudis had any responsibility or any part with 9/11. And it's in the past that have alluded to that. We want the FBI to release its report from a number of years ago, unredacted. We can get to the bottom of this and make sure that the public can seek justice. So there is a bipartisan push for this right now among members of Congress, and we're just trying to help these families get answers and get justice.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Nicole, you're down in Washington a bunch of the time, but I know that you're making it back to the district regularly. What are your thoughts about the state of New York City and the opening or the lack of opening that we've experienced thus far? And are you hopeful about what we're looking at here to start the summer with?
Well, look, I'm obviously very concerned. I've expressed concern over the last few years of the direction our mayor has been taking our city. Some of the policies he's put in place have led to deteriorating quality of life, increased crime, increased cost of living. It is driving people out. It's driving wealthy people, as he says, but it's also driving the middle class down. And remember, when the wealthy people leave, the burden of the tax burden falls on more on the middle class, as we've seen every year with rise in property taxes, which increases both home ownership and the cost of rent. So I think that, you know, my hope is that, you know, there is a mayor's race this year. I just hope that these are issues that, you know, the media will bring to light. You know, how are we going to address the property tax inequity? How who's going to be serious about correcting some of the policies that have made crime soar in our city? These are the issues I want to hear about, and I think that New Yorkers want to hear about. And I think that this year, whether it's the mayor's race or next year with the governor's race, we have a chance to take things a different way. And I hope people are watching and listening and really paying close attention to what some of these proposals are.
I'm guessing that this is true, but I want to ask on the record anyway. Once a nominee emerges for the Republicans in both of those races, are you going to be working for that campaign and trying to help get out the vote?
Well, sure. I think either of the Republican candidates that are there today see more in line with my concerns and direction to take this city. We need to make New York City safe again. We need to reopen it. And we got to reduce the cost of living so people can stay.
Makes sense. All right. Congresswoman, I'm so proud of the work you're doing. Keep it up.
Thank you.
All right, Kevin McCullough, when we come back, Alexandra DeSantis of the National Review, the current president of Planned Parenthood, has made a remarkable admission about its founder. Does it matter? Stay with us. Coming up next.
If you're thinking about selling your house, call Calamine & Company Real Estate for a free consultation. This is not your typical real estate broker. It's a company you can trust. Calamine & Company focuses on representing sellers and always puts the seller's needs above everything else. Louis Calamine leads a dedicated team of client-focused professionals who combine old-school values with cutting-edge technology. Their deals always get closed and for top dollar. They remove the stress that typically comes from selling a house. Look at their perfect ratings and reviews online. Their unprecedented 100% success rate guarantees your sale will close. Calamine & Company is truly in a class by itself. Remember, they always specialize in selling estate-owned properties and are regularly hired by attorneys, executors, administrators, and the surrogate's court. Offices across New York City and coming soon to New Jersey. Visit calamine.com or call 718-998-1100. Clients come first at Calamine & Company Real Estate.
Hey, Pastor Darren Goldstein here from Hope Outreach Ministries, where everyone is welcome, where we serve the I Am Possible God. We are building people of faith, love, and power. We invite you to come and worship with us in person. Our doors open at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. We are located at 333 13th Avenue in Newark, New Jersey. Come and experience heaven on earth or join us on Facebook Live at 3 p.m. at Hope Outreach Ministries for Everyone. We promise you will never be the same as you experience the presence of Almighty God.
If you drive a car, truck, SUV, or vehicle of any kind, you need GetUpside, the free gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. That's right. With the free GetUpside gas app, you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back every time you buy gas. Nearly 3 million people have earned cash back with GetUpside just for buying gas.
I always use GetUpside. Some months, I make $200 to $300.
I love getting money back for things I use every day. It's just free money for buying gas.
There's no catch. It's simple. And you get your cash back right away.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents per gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code FALL for a 25 cent per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents per gallon on your next fill up. You can cash out anytime to PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Earn cash back on gas on every fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code FALL for a 25 cent per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code FALL.
Meet Skip, senior pastor at Sand Hills Neighborhood Church.
I told you, if we broke attendance records, I'd get the church logo tattooed on my arm.
And meet Guy, the youth pastor trying to break through the noise.
I just want the church to get back to the gospel. Problem is, you're trying to get your message across.
The gospel?
Right. And ain't nobody listening to that.
But this mega church...
Good Friday and Easter. I need something big.
...has one mega problem.
Bigger than the resurrection.
Bigger than anything we've ever done. National headlines.
Preach on the death and resurrection of Jesus.
An actual crucifixion.
This Easter, ask yourself, is the gospel enough with this hilarious new comedy?
Operation Stop Skip is a go. That's awesome.
Church People, starring Thor Ramsey and Stephen Baldwin.
Amen.
Stream it on your TV, tablet, or phone. Go to salemnow.com for details. Salemnow.com.
Use promo code WMCA for additional savings.
The WMCA April Ministry of the Month is The Narrow Path with Steve Gregg.
Let's talk to Paul from Buena Vista, Colorado.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Listen to this question and answer Bible broadcast weeknights at 7.
Your sins are taken care of, so why would you come back and ask for forgiveness for?
Confessing our sins is ongoing because, unfortunately, our sins are also ongoing.
The Narrow Path, new to WMCA and the April Ministry of the Month on AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Okay, as mentioned, there's some cleanup on aisle 4 going on. That's what they're trying to do anyway in the neighborhood of Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood itself, I guess, has finally felt as though it has been completely exposed and therefore by necessity needs to say a mea culpa for some of their past wrongs. The question is, will it be enough? And a lot of people, myself included, do not believe that it comes even close to that. But Alexandra De Sanctis has picked this up in a piece for the National Review this week, and I really think it's worth chatting about, and I wanted to get her on, and she was able to join us today. Alexandra, it's wonderful to have you back with us. I've always appreciated your strong stand for the defense of life, and I appreciate the way you use the written word to get that across. What did Planned Parenthood try to do to put the Band-Aid on the cancer?
So we saw a New York Times opinion piece from Planned Parenthood President Alexis McGill Johnson over the weekend, essentially admitting finally out in the open that Margaret Sanger, the group's founder, was tied up with and, in fact, a leader of the eugenics movement and the population control movement in the 20th century in the U.S., apologizing for this, you know, saying we're ready to acknowledge that you had white supremacist kind of anti-minority views, that she wanted to use population control to get rid of these certain populations. We're going to own up to that now. We need to grapple with that history. And, you know, basically saying that now that we're willing to acknowledge it, everyone should just sort of forgive us and forget.
Well, the problem is, and I know that this is, it may seem odd to some people listening, tongue firmly planted in cheek, that the methodology by which Margaret Sanger wanted to eliminate said populations, specifically that of Black Americans, was to have abortion clinics set on every street corner in every neighborhood of every inner city. So it seems like while they're saying, well, we admit this was our past and our history, if they're not going to change their basic mode of business, they're not going to change much at all, right?
That's exactly right. That's what's so interesting about the article and why the point I made in my response is it's too little too late and it means nothing considering Planned Parenthood's current work because, you know, Margaret Sanger herself, despite having these important views, was actually a big proponent of birth control. She wanted to legalize contraception because she believed, I think correctly, that some of these populations she didn't like would be more inclined to use it, but she wanted to sort of forcibly have these people use birth control or forcibly sterilize them so that there'd be fewer of populations she disliked or viewed as unwanted in our society. But she actually wasn't a proponent of abortion itself. And yet today, the organization now, as you said, has an abortion clinic on every street corner in these neighborhoods. Like 80% of Planned Parenthood clinics are located within walking distance of neighborhoods occupied by minority Americans. So their goal is very clearly, and their business model is predicated on serving the very populations that Margaret Sanger herself wanted less of. And so until they're ready to be held accountable for that, it really doesn't mean very much.
Yeah. Well, until you have a popular culture that denounces them, they're not going to have the pressure felt to truly make any changes. And I guess it's good that at least we can now cite Planned Parenthood's own current president as someone who understands that organization's racist history and the racist foundations that it was built upon. However, if their goal is to still remain in the process of killing Black babies, for the purpose of profit or for the purpose of what their founder founded the organization for, it's still, evil in its very core. And I would say that the purposeful killing of children doesn't need an additional motive to make it evil, even if there are those in our society that need that justification of what the motivation was. It's odd, Alexandra. I know you report on pro-life stuff all the time, but it's odd how magically Joe Biden says that if a child is wanted, then an abortion is evil. But if a child is unwanted, then an abortion is moral. And I don't understand how these people compartmentalize their brain and live in these fractured worlds that they've created.
I know. It's a really frightening mindset to be in, because when you think about it, if that's your worldview and if that's what you believe, what you're essentially arguing is that, you know, some human beings have the power to determine whether or not another life is worth living, whether another person lives or dies merely because of whether or not they're wanted by his or her parents. Right. That's a very frightening principle. And if we're in a society where that's true, we might think, oh, well, these are just unborn, whatever, clumps of cells. We don't have to worry about it. But if we live in a society that legally sanctions that view that some human beings can dispose of people because they're unwanted or not good enough, that's troubling, I think, for all of us and for how we view each other.
Yeah, no, it certainly should be. What do we know about the issue of Planned Parenthood funding? What happened under Trump and what's happening under Biden?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. President Biden, unsurprisingly, is rolling back as much of the pro-life progress that the Trump administration made as he can. Thus far, we've seen the COVID stimulus bill fund Planned Parenthood directly, fund abortion indirectly, and we've seen the Biden administration move to restore Title X funding to abortion providers, including Planned Parenthood, which will restore about 60 million or so in Planned Parenthood's annual funding.
with, again, the majority of those babies dying being those of African-American and minority Americans. Alexandra, we appreciate your good work. Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Kevin McCullough, if you want to read more, go to National Review. The name of the article was Planned Parenthood Can't Disavow Margaret Singer. Coming right back.
Hey everyone, it's Debbie Biskey from the Bridge Women's Center, and I am super excited for our second annual gala on May 13th at the Meadowood in Randolph, New Jersey. The state of New Jersey is opening up more and more, and we anticipate additional capacity will be opened up as we get closer to the event. Our keynote speaker is Governor Mike Huckabee, a huge pro-life advocate. So join us to celebrate life and help support our pro-life mission to raise funds for our second mobile unit. You don't want to miss the event, so go buy your tickets at bridgewomencenter.com, and I'll see you on May 13th.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. The Bridge Women's Center gives support to women and families with unintended pregnancies. They also provide support after birth and counseling. Be sure to attend the Women's Gala on May 13th to support the Bridge Women's Center and buy tickets to the benefit. COVID guidelines will be followed. Go to bridgewomencenter.com. That's bridgewomencenter.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 3388 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 3388. Enjoy.
Listen to The Mission WMCA anywhere you go with the AM570 The Mission mobile app. Download on Google Play, iTunes, or listen to TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. As you know, my friend, Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop just by making the best pillow, which he did. Now Mike has gone and done it again, introducing My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers. They are designed to wear indoor and out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, they are also made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. Call 1-800-651-0798 and use the promo code WMCA. Or go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, and use promo code WMCA. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, my personal favorite, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Call 1-800-651-0798 and use the promo code WMCA.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs. And because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by April 30th and you can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch like more than 400,000 people already have and start saving. Here it is. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. He is one of the longest-serving governors in American history, a two-time presidential candidate, a top-rated Fox News Channel host, and all of that before being known as Sarah's dad. Governor Mike Huckabee, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
We know that police violence disproportionately impacts Black and Latino people in communities, and that Black women and girls, like Black men and boys, experience higher rates of police violence.
Not sure that those stats are right, Jen Psaki. If you're talking about percentage of the population without any other factors, you might be right. But let me lay this on you. There are more people shot and killed by police officers who are white. White people are shot and killed more often by police officers, and they die more often than any other group of people. Now, it is true that African Americans are the second most shot and killed demographic group, mostly African American males. And this, despite the fact that African Americans only make up 13% of the population, they make up roughly 55% of the being shot and killed statistics. And there's a reason why. Now, I'm sorry. No. They make up the second most. They commit 55% of the gun violent crime in America. And that's probably more corollary to why more are shot and killed than any other single factor. Here to discuss this and some other not so truthy truths coming out of the White House is none other than the aforementioned Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor Huckabee, I've done deep dives on this all week. In fact, I wrote about it last weekend. When you look at what we have done to African-American males in this country, what we have done by way of allowing them to grow up in fatherless neighborhoods, fatherless households, leaderless communities, really no mentor, no men in their lives saying, hey, don't do this. We should not be surprised at the outcome that has resulted in even more examples of violence this week with Adam Toledo and Dante Wright and some of those from last weekend. But even the interaction with Micaiah Bryant, you know, I'm sorry, when you're wielding a knife trying to stab people, that's not normal behavior. And I don't think it's socially acceptable behavior. But Governor Huckabee, if we are really serious about this, no amount of discussion about police intervention or safety directors for cities and so forth are going to change much. We have to get young Black men into households or into relationships with older men who can mentor them. Do we not?
We have to do that. And we also have to raise up a generation, not just of Black young men, but all young men, to understand that fatherhood is not sperm donation, that it involves the nurture of both a spouse and a child, and that there is responsibility, and let me go further, duty, an absolute duty to provide for the physical needs of one's offspring, as well as for the emotional needs. And I realize that a lot of young men have never had their own emotional needs provided for, so it's hard for them to know what to do. That goes to your point about being a mentor. But what we're seeing on the streets of many of our cities and what we saw in Columbus, Ohio, is the complete breakdown of parents raising children to understand authority. It was horrible that the young lady was shot by the police officer, but equally horrible was that she was about to murder another young lady. And when LeBron James sent out his ridiculous statement blaming the cop, you know, my point was, well, which Black life mattered? The girl in the pink who didn't have a knife, or the girl who had a knife poised to kill the girl in the pink? They were both Black.
Right.
So
yeah.
Black life mattered the most. And that's really the question. And, you know, LeBron James has popped off, but he hasn't taken full responsibility for his comments. And that kind of comment only furthers this outrageous view. Let me point out one thing. There's a perception that there are thousands of Black males who are just being shot by cops in the street. The actual number last year was 27. Over the past 10 years, it's an average of 21. Now, why is that significant statistically? Because if you take all of the Black males in the country, that means there is a 1 in a million, a little less, 1 in a million chance that a Black male will be killed by a police officer. The likelihood they will be struck by lightning is 1 in 15,000. So people need to understand that there is not some epidemic of cops killing Black males. That is a perception that has been fostered and hoisted by people like Joe Biden. It's creating panic in the Black community. It's just an outright lie.
Well, as of last Sunday, when I submitted my column for Deadline, of that very moment in the year 2021, and this is only unarmed black males, there have been a total of 3 that have been shot and killed in 2021, and there have been 5 white offenders that have been shot and killed that are unarmed by police. And if you look at the last, I think it was 4 years average of unarmed victims of shooting and death by police, you're talking about nearly twice as many whites every single year as African-Americans, despite the fact that the vast majority of violent crime in America is committed by African-American young men. If you're talking about gun violence, that statistic is it just roars in terms of majority of the crimes that are committed. So we've got some real work to do, but it's not going to be found in defunding law enforcement, setting people that are lawful authority aside. And Governor, I'm very worried about that. I want, and you know that I have a Haitian American son, and I have biological sons, and I want my black son and I want my white son to both honor the police when they give them an instruction. I want both of them to obey lawful orders when given by right authority in their life. And to your first point, we have had a couple of generations that have thumbed their nose at authority and said, no, we don't have to do what you say. And that is starting to get children killed. And that's a real problem.
Well, that's a good point to make, is that if parents do not teach their children to respect authority, whether it's the authority of the police officer or the teacher or a store owner or whoever, if I go into a store, I'm in essence the guest of the store. If the manager was to come up to me and say, I'm sorry, did you pick that item up and put it in your pocket? If I didn't, I should say, no, sir, here's my pocket. I'll open it up and let you see. I'm just saying that there is a difference in the manner in which kids today have an understanding as they grow up about their responsibility to respect authority. And it's not a matter of being subservient.
So
it's a matter of creating a civil environment in which we can all function.
That's and so very true.
A chaos, an uncivilized, chaotic nation.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff, Governor. As always, what's on the big show this weekend?
Well, Congressman Doug Collins of Georgia is going to be here. We'll be talking about all the things that are happening there and why some of these great companies like Coca-Cola have gotten it wrong and totally embarrassed themselves, and we'll discuss that. We've also got Dr. Everett Piper, who will talk about his new book. He's such a great guy.
He is.
And I love that he is taking on the cancel culture. And our music guest, we're going to have a rocking time, Mark Farner with Grand Funk Railroad.
Oh, nice. All right. Sounds great. 8 and 11 on TBN every weekend and then again on Sunday nights at the same time. Governor Mike Huckabee, thank you as always.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough, coming right back.
This year, nearly 22,000 American women will be diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and another 14,000 will die. Even worse, 10% of these deaths will be linked to a product that is found in nearly everyone's medicine cabinet. Hey ladies, this is Liz Black, and I need to tell you about a common household product that is killing innocent women. Talcum powder. For decades, studies show that talcum contains asbestos, a known cancer-causing agent. Yet, companies like Johnson & Johnson unconscionably sell this dangerous product this May after being conclusively linked to deadly ovarian cancer, mesothelioma, and fallopian cancer. Talcum powder was finally pulled from shelves. If you or a loved one received a cancer diagnosis after using talcum powder at any point, call Buttafuoco & Associates today at 1-800-NOW-HURT. Buttafuoco & Associates is helping clients recover significant damages. If you think your cancer may have been caused by talcum powder, call today, 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
People with cancer prefer Dr. Lederman's innovative cancer treatment. Many are so disappointed not to get the same care elsewhere. Dr. Lederman is first in Western Hemisphere with body radiosurgery, non-invasive, highly successful outpatient cancer treatment where we attack cancer. No cutting, no bleeding. Dr. Lederman's first. When all others thought standard treatment was okay, Dr. Lederman doesn't settle for okay. Why should you? For newer recurrent cancers, most anywhere in the body, even if chemo, surgery, or radiation didn't work, isn't tolerated, or isn't wanted. The original, Dr. Lederman. Don't settle for excuses and imitation. Call Dr. Lederman. 2 and 2 choices, 2 and 2 choices for appointment and free booklet DVD. 1384 Broadway at 38th. Most insurance, Medicare, Medicaid accepted. Don't be disappointed elsewhere. Call Dr. Lederman, 2 and 2 choices, 2 and 2 choices.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
So I'm told that yesterday was Earth Day, and I celebrated this fact by starting up 4 lawnmowers in my yard and letting my my newly purchased Ford Expedition run for an hour and a half in my driveway. Just trying to use as much fossil fuel as possible. I'm kidding. I didn't do any of those things. But Earth Day is not one of those days that I sit around and go, oh, it's Earth Day. Let's do Earth Day. So when my kids came home and when I saw one of my colleagues in radio work, Dr. Nicole Sapphire, post on Instagram yesterday, she posted a great Earth Day thing. She says, hey, it's Earth Day. Let's get back to science, President Biden. How about let's follow the science and make sure we're all getting outside, taking those masks off, breathing the beautiful air in and out and getting our vitamin D. And I thought that was one of the best Earth Day posts I saw until my 8-year-old. Got home from school yesterday and he said, Dad, you know, today's Earth Day. And I was in my head. I'm rolling my eyes on my face. I said, no, I did. Is today Earth Day? He goes, yeah, everybody knows it's Earth Day. Why didn't you know it was Earth Day? I said, well, OK, maybe I knew it was Earth Day. He goes, do you want to see what I did for Earth Day? Again, the cringe factor inside my head. I'm starting to go, good. How do I answer this? Sure. So he then pulls out a folded piece of paper. And in that folded piece of paper, there was a globe in the middle of it. And the globe wasn't like the normal Earth with all the continents and the ocean. Instead, it was divided into 6 portions. And there were waters that were being separated. There was light that was turned into day and night. There was the creation of the vegetation and of the animals and of the things that breathed. And then on day 6, and he said, Dad, look at this. On day 6, there's Adam and there's Eve. There were 2 human figures in his globe. He had everything else represented. The fish, the animals, the birds, the sky, the day, the night, the waters. He had it all. See, my son, who is a very young follower of Jesus in his life, when he thinks about the earth, he thinks about God's creation and he thinks about it from the standpoint of how it came to pass and what it looks like and why we have such an amazing opportunity to be on this planet these many generations later. My little 8-year-old taught me a lesson yesterday about Earth Day, that no matter how much the political forces or the left-right debate or the screaming social activist warriors online can get grumpy and shout taunts to one another, that when it comes to understanding this world and where it comes from and who we are and our role in it, my 8-year-old has a pretty good understanding. This world is not his home. He's just passing through. This world belongs to God, because he gave it to us. And so on Earth Day, we can say thank you. We can treat it with respect. I did not run my lawnmowers and car. We can enjoy the beauty and we can be grateful for it. So I gotta say, I think I had the best Earth Day I've ever had. Thanks, Jonathan. I'm grateful for you. Kevin McCullough, we'll see you on Monday.